This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Let's do this thing.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
I'm not familiar with rap. Give me Hendrix any day and I'll go from there.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups winning in overtime!
The Chiefs.
Butker's kick is up! It is right down the boulevard! And Harrison Butker kicks some, you know what!
College football and college basketball.
Ate the shoot, Hall, the runner! Loose ball! It's good! The slipper still fits!
And everything else happening in the sports world.
And the Bullpups walking off here at McPherson Stadium! Oh, this place is going crazy!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing on a fired up Reaction Monday here on According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE. Jim Joyner, and of course I'm joined by the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, this was a very eventful weekend in the sports world. There was the college football playoff rankings and the semifinal matchups that were announced. The miserable Chiefs. We started off the weekend on a nice leg with the Bullpups winning their double header in basketball against El Dorado. We had a great coaches show this weekend. Started off so great. And then it was ruined at about 3 o'clock on Sunday. Steve, we'll talk about the Chiefs a little bit later on in the show, but I know we're going to have a ton to talk about with that team and just try and figure out what the heck is going on. I can't figure it out. I had to go walk around the neighborhood last night and just try and clear my head, and I still haven't cleared it.
Well, I didn't see the game live. I taped it. And when the Chiefs got
You're one of the few people that probably did that.
Well, the Chiefs get out to a 14-0 lead, and I'm thinking, man, this is going to be an absolute runaway. But then the defense, my goodness, how poor did that defense play? And you know, here it is the last few weeks. It's been all about the offense. And they're, you know, they score 31 points. They have a 450, I got it here somewhere, over 400 yards of offense. And yet people are still ripping the offense after the game. When the offense put enough points on the board to win, their defense with, you know, Marcus Peters absolutely losing his mind. I mean, Steven Nelson, you know, just, you know, can't
play. He just lost his ability to play.
Yeah, and Darrell Revis was not in shape to play. I thought that was kind of unfair that they put him out there as much as they did. I mean, you can't expect somebody that hasn't been playing all year, had 1 week of practice, to go out and be what they used to be 5 years ago. Darrell Revis looked slow. He didn't have his football legs. Now, maybe he'll be better next week, but boy, that the Chiefs tackling. At one point, Marcus Peters, they picked him up on the, I don't know if you picked up on this or not, but he goes, "We can't tackle." He just screamed it out loud to the sideline, and the whole game, he's just like, I'm telling you, the guy came unhinged, and I'm surprised. I haven't seen anything on any kind of suspension yet. He thought he got kicked out of the game. Well, how do you leave the game when you've never really been told you're kicked out?
And take your socks off.
And take your socks off, come back, and you're just in your shoes, no socks. I mean, my goodness, what a total meltdown for the Chiefs. And the funny thing is, they're still tied for the AFC West lead.
Yeah, as bad as all of this is.
They have three of their last four at home. They play Miami, which, you know, they should be able to beat.
They should have been able to beat the Giants and the Jets and the Bills.
But they have the Raiders this week, and if that can't get the Chiefs fired up to play, nothing can.
We'll talk about the Chiefs a little later on in the show and spend a little bit more time on them. We talked about the Bullpup basketball teams picking up a nice win on Friday night. It was a very comfortable win for both teams. The girls won 95-24, and the boys won 82-38. And here comes the biggest week of the season. For sure, the regular season. I mean, these two matchups they play this week against Derby and Bishop Miege are better matchups than they'll see the week of Substate.
Yeah, this is, I called it state championship week because both the Derby boys and girls are ranked in the top four. Derby girls are actually number two. Now, Derby hasn't played yet. I think that's an advantage for the Bullpups. But the Roundhouse needs to be filled on Tuesday. I mean, folks, this is a state championship type game, so you need to go.
And all the Division I talent on the floor,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, there's tremendous talent for all the teams. The leading scorer in the state On the boys' side for Derby, Tyler Brown, he averaged 30 points a game at Valley Center. He's transferred to Derby. Bryant McCabe, he's an NCAA Division I signee. He transferred to Derby. They got Wichita East starting point guard from last year. He transferred to Derby. Great recruiting year for Derby, if you want to put it in that context. But anyway, the games Tuesday night are going to be fantastic. And I also want to say what a great weekend it was for the Bullpup swimming team. They have now had two runaway victories by over 100 points. They saw a big-time field at Mays, dominated that. Now they go to Topeka tomorrow to see basically all 6A Kansas City Topeka-type schools. We'll see how they do up there. And then, of course, a shout-out to the JV and girls wrestling teams, dominating performance in the meet here at the Auxiliary Gym on Saturday. So it was a great weekend, you know, to be a Bullpup sports fan.
Yeah, we will talk a little bit more about the basketball matchups for tomorrow night. We'll do that on tomorrow's show. But the first thing that has been on my mind that I wanted to talk about to open up this show was the biggest hot button topic. It was more of a hot button topic than what was happening in the White House this weekend. It was the college football playoff rankings and what would happen with that fourth slot. And so, Steve, you and I, we talked about it last week. We talked about the conference championship games coming up, and it would take some mayhem to change some things up. And OU did not allow for that mayhem to happen. They ended up beating TCU down in Jerry World. But there was a little bit of mayhem because Wisconsin, who came in undefeated, lost to a two-loss Ohio State team. So Ohio State won the Big Ten Conference.
And but did anybody really think Wisconsin was going to be Ohio State? I didn't see anybody that thought, other than Matt Leinart, and he never picks anything right on Fox, but I didn't have any doubt Ohio State would handle them. Actually, the game was closer than I thought it'd be, because remember, a couple years ago, they had that 59-0 beatdown in the championship game. Wisconsin's just not on the same caliber as Ohio State, but give Wisconsin credit. They did hang tough, you know, took it into the fourth quarter. The real surprise, I think, to a lot of people was Georgia.
Yeah.
In the SEC championship game, beating Auburn. Now, to me, I think the Alabama game took everything out of Auburn. I didn't think they had anything left.
Well, they've already had to play Georgia, who was the
number
one
team. And they drilled Georgia. They
then had to play Alabama, who was the number one team. And Colin Cowherd has said it a couple of times that it takes so much energy to play three games of that caliber in less than a month. And it finally took its toll on Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn was really never in that game. I think it ended at, 28-7?
Yeah.
Something like that. Georgia deservedly got in. Remember, they were number one for quite a while. And then they had their game where they just didn't play well, got beat by Auburn. But Alabama getting in at number four, that was going to be the big consternation. Alabama or Ohio State, they got it right. I felt like, for whatever reason, people just didn't want to see Alabama in there.
Yeah.
And they only lost one game. They dominated most of their games. They were getting penalized for the loss to Auburn. And I just felt like, you know, they played Auburn pretty tough. That was just a game. They just, you know, they made some mistakes. But Alabama has been one of the best team in the country for most of the year. I just don't think you could penalize them and put Ohio State in there. Ohio State had that 55-14 loss. How can you put them in there when Alabama's only loss is a narrow loss to Auburn? But, you know, Oklahoma drilled Ohio State at home. JT Barrett was kind of banged up, although he had a decent game. But I think they took all that in the committee, and they got it right. But these cries now for an 8-team or 16-team playoff, no way. This is what makes this special. You know, you got four teams, and I just don't think you need to have eight. I think once you go to 8 and 16, you just water it down.
The first 3 years of the college football playoff, there was a little bit of drama, but for the most part, there was not a ton of drama because it was pretty clear-cut who the four teams would be, with the exception of Ohio State getting in front of Penn State last year. And as soon as the last game between Wisconsin and Ohio State ended, it was immediate on social media that everybody didn't know what was going to happen. And I thought that the committee would put Ohio State in because they did not want to have another SEC team in. And I think that they wanted to reward the conference champion.
But the goal is to have the best four teams.
And I
think they got it right. Because I'm still convinced, and I know I was wrong when Alabama played Auburn, Alabama is going to win it all. I'm telling you right now. Clemson's not going to beat them again. You don't beat Alabama twice in a row. Clemson beat them last year for the national championship. Clemson looked really good. But Miami, I kind of fell all year. Miami was kind of a paper, you know, paper tiger. They just really weren't that good. And they got it. Clemson really exposed them. Clemson's really playing well right now, especially on the defensive side. Then you got Georgia and Oklahoma in the other game, and that's going to be pretty intriguing because other than the game where Georgia just laid an egg, they dominated teams all year. Oklahoma, amazing offense, but again, can their defense win this type of big game? And I'm not sure it can. I didn't see how it opened up. I know that Alabama opened up as a one-point favorite over Clemson. Yep. I have not seen the line on Georgia-Oklahoma. I don't know if you saw it or not, but I got to think, you know, that's another very few points are going to separate those two teams. Oklahoma, really, I didn't think looked that good against TCU. Looked a little better defensively they had, but offensively I didn't think they scored 38 points, but it wasn't that Baker Mayfield explosive game. I don't think he threw for 300 yards. He kind of managed the game. So anyway, I still think they got it right. I think the best four teams are in.
Oklahoma opens up as a one-point favorite against Georgia at
Rose
Bowl.
Vegas getting really chintzy with their point spreads. Of course, that's all going to change because
if
they leave it at 1 point, they're not going to get any action. So when you say the 1 point, they're just saying, Vegas right now is saying, this is who we think is going to win. But they're going to have to change the points or they won't get any kind of action at all.
So there was a lot of heat on social media this week, in particular this weekend, talking about these college football rankings. And my opinion was not liked by a decent amount of people. And my opinion was, I said that I think that the four teams that should be in are Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Clemson. But who I thought the committee would put in was Ohio State instead of Alabama. And I understand that they want to reward conference champions for doing that. But
that's why they played championship games. That's why the Big 12 went to what was really a senseless championship game. Oklahoma ran the table during the regular season. Then they had to turn around and beat TCU again in a prove-me game. So if Oklahoma loses, they're probably out. So then you would have Alabama and Ohio State in.
But the problem with that is this college football playoff committee was put together in order to avoid formulas and just a plug-and-place type of scenario with, okay, Big Ten champion, we'll play the Big 12 champion. That's not what the goal of this is. That's what the old BCS system was, where it rewarded you based off of things like that. And with this playoff committee, they don't have a formula. They don't have criteria. What they are doing is sitting down and picking the four best teams. Now, that could mean if for some crazy year the four best teams were in the SEC or the four best teams were in the Big Ten, I think it would be hard to do. But hypothetically, that's a possibility because this is what the goal of this committee is. And there were so many people throwing out a word this weekend that didn't make sense to me, and that was the word deserve, where they were saying Ohio State deserves to be in or Alabama doesn't deserve to be in.
Ask Iowa if Ohio State deserves to be in.
I guarantee they will say no. But the point of this committee is to get the four best teams. And the fact that the gambling lines opened up and Alabama is a favorite over Clemson, how could you leave them out? If they are what you think is one of the four best teams, you have to put them in. Even if they didn't win their division, they didn't play in the conference championship. That's the point of this. If you are one of the four best teams, regardless of what happened this past weekend, you were going to get in. And I think that they knew that probably going into this weekend that they would want to put Alabama in because they are one of the four best teams, and that's the point of all of this.
Yeah, and it does leave some, you know, for the other bowl games outside of the top four, some pretty good bowl matchups.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to the let me see, I'll find it here. The Radom Media Camella Bowl and the Cherubundi Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl. I am just going to be on the edge of my seat for those two games.
What about the Gildan New Mexico Bowl? You know, the Gildan shirt and
right.
underwear.
Well, here's one. The Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl.
Yeah, that's a good
now,
one.
I like saying Gasparilla, but my goodness, Temple and FIU. Other than fans of those two teams, do you think anyone's really going to watch that?
Yeah, probably not. I think they got it right, and that was the point that I was trying to make to people because there were some people still thinking in the old BCS mindset of, oh, well, if you don't win your conference, you can't get in. That's not the point of this. The point is to get the four best teams.
Exactly.
And with the matchups that they have, these are the two best matchups they could possibly come up with. This college football playoff, I guarantee you, will be the highest rated college football playoff semifinal in the 4 years. I guarantee it.
And the Clemson-Alabama game will be the most watched.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
I mean, that may be watched more than the championship game, because many people believe in the long run, Clemson and Alabama are still the best two teams in the country.
I think so. I think they got it right, and I know that other people do not think that way, but Steve and I are both in the opinion that they got it right, and some people were upset that USC was kind of left out of the conversation of, hey, are you even talking about them possibly getting in? They finished the year ranked 8th. So that's what the committee thought of USC, and in particular the Pac-12, that they were not in the same ballpark as any of the other teams.
Now, Pac-12, I thought this was really a down year in the for the Pac-12 in the games I saw. Just a lot of really average teams. That's an USC won 11 games, but that's an average USC team.
And they got blown out by Notre Dame.
Yeah, they did. They really did. And, boy, Notre Dame, there's a name you don't even hear anything. You know, they were
down
right
to 14.
3 weeks they were really up there. And then, boy, did they just absolutely fall apart down the stretch.
This weekend proved to me what I thought was true the whole year. Miami, as well as Wisconsin, were not very good.
No.
Okay, after the break, we will dive into this Chiefs team and what the heck is going on at Arrowhead Stadium. And we'll try and dissect all the madness from yesterday's game where they lost to the Jets 38-31 against the very highly credited quarterback Josh McCown. We're back on the other side on According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on According to Jim here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Jim Joyner, Steve Zell, after a wild and frankly depressing end of the weekend with the Kansas City Chiefs losing to the New York Jets 38-31, which puts them to 6-6 after a 5-0 start to this year. And Steve, I've been trying to put together the words to talk about what happened yesterday, and the first thing that comes to my mind is that game defensively for the Chiefs was the most embarrassing game that they have played in a long, long time. Now, this is not them playing Tom Brady. This is not them losing to Peyton Manning. This is not even them losing to Phillip Rivers. This is them losing to Josh McCown, who is the laughingstock of, well, not this year with Tom Savage and all the other fools that are starting quarterbacks in this league. But Josh McCown has been in the NFL for 15 years and has played on 10 different teams. You think that means that he's a real good quarterback? And he torched the Chiefs yesterday. All day. They ran almost 40 more plays and had possession of the football for 42 minutes. And they had an 18-play drive. Josh McCown is terrible. And the Chiefs let him look like an MVP yesterday. He passed for 331 yards. That was unacceptable. That was the worst and most embarrassing game I've ever seen them play defensively.
488 yards for the Jets, who entered the game 4-7. That Kansas City defense, what it pointed out to me, one, they really missed Dontari Poe. How they let Dontari Poe, you know, get away is just beyond me. Two, they really missed Eric Berry.
Yeah.
Three, Derek Johnson. And Tom Ali, I don't think even played. I'm not sure he was even active. But if he played, it was only a couple plays. They're done. I mean, they have nothing left. They have been great Chiefs, but the bottom line is they can't play anymore. Then you have Steven Nelson. Steven Nelson, I'm telling you, you know, Taylen Huff, Chandler Wire, Ben Nickel, Thomas Diggs, Gabe Hoover, those guys could run all over Steven Nelson. This guy cannot make a play.
For those of you that don't know, those are the names of the McPherson High secondary as well as the backups in that secondary. Yeah,
and wide receivers. I'm saying as those guys as wide receivers. But, I mean, and then, of course, Marcus Peters, just the absolute Prince of Fools. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Marcus Peters is not all there. I'm sorry. Emotionally, when he plays, he is so out of control emotionally. You know, he can't tackle, for one thing. If anyone that's watched Marcus Peters, the guy can't tackle. And then, you know, Ron Parker's supposed to be a great tackler. All he kept trying to do was throw his shoulder. The era of wrapping up and form tackling for the Chiefs is over. Their front three, non-existent. I can't even tell you who they've got up there anymore. I mean, none of them make any plays. Now, Reggie Ragland, I thought he made some plays, but where's Justin Houston? I mean, the Chiefs never even came close, I don't think, to a quarterback sack. No. They've hardly sacked the quarterback all year. I mean, this is a defense that all of a sudden has just come apart at the seams. How they only gave up 12 points to the Giants and 16 to the Bills. How those teams didn't score more, I don't know, because that is a porous defense right now. They just can't seem to get on the same page. One week it's the offense that can't get going, and then the next week it's the defense. They just can't seem to have both units playing well, and it really wasted some nice performances. Tyreek Hill, 6 catches, 185 yards, 2 touchdowns. Travis Kelce, who was going crazy early in the game, 94 yards and 4 catches, 2 touchdowns. Those came in the first 5 minutes of the game.
They didn't run enough plays to get him the ball.
Yeah, and you could see Kelce time and again. You could see how the camera knew he was showing his emotions. They were showing Travis Kelce a lot, and he was open at times. He was getting upset, but he did come out after the game and say, "I'm tired of Alex Smith taking the credit for all our defeats." So anyone thinking about Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith still played a pretty good football game. Now, he missed some pretty key passes there in the second half, but I think you'll take 366 and 4 scores any day. That's a good enough effort to win. But the Chiefs defense now, they have hit rock bottom. And, you know, at some point, you know, Andy Reid is so calm after. I don't know how the guy isn't just, you know.
We got to play better.
How's he not throwing chairs in the locker room and just going ballistic? He's just coming out, well, yeah, it's on me. It's on me. It's, you know, I'm not putting them in position. Well, these guys are getting paid a lot of money to be football players, and they're not playing like football players right now.
I was trying to not think about this game yesterday afternoon after the game was over, and so I decided to try and go for a walk, get myself off the internet, and I went for a nice walk. It was a nice day, and Bullpup running back Coach Monty, he was out there flying a kite at Eisenhower Elementary School.
So Monty!
He was out there flying a kite, and so I was kind of laughing about that, but I was trying to walk this off and think about the game and think about life in general and why I'm a sports fan and why I like this Kansas City Chiefs team. And one thing that really bugged me is that, yes, I am on the Alex Smith train. I am thinking that he is still the right guy for the job, but the fact that people are on social media and people are voicing their opinions that Alex Smith is the reason they lost the game yesterday, are you out of your mind? He was the leading NFL passer yesterday. He was leading fantasy passer.
No interceptions.
What more do you want from him?
Yeah.
He did all he could do yesterday. And
social media is the bane of our existence.
And if you say the whole season he hasn't been great, okay, I'll at least humble that opinion and say, okay, I'll listen. But to look at yesterday's game and blame it on Alex Smith or blame it on the offense, I can't even wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
The defense, it was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my life. They could not get off the field, and the Jets were 13 out of 20 on third down conversions.
And a lot of those third down conversions were like 8 or 9 yards, some of them even more than that. I mean, Josh McCown converted a couple third downs with his legs, and the guy, you know, you know, he shouldn't even be running the football. I mean, he should have feet of cement. But, I mean, I don't know what's going on. Bob Sutton, you know, he doesn't ever blitz anymore. Justin Houston, he's getting paid, what do you have, $106 million contract when he signed over like 4 or 5 years? I mean, he is just a shell of him for himself. And I still go back, they miss Eric Berry. They miss Dontari Poe. There's just no doubt about it.
A year ago today was the day that Eric Berry really played a good game against the Falcons when they won on the road. And then a year later, they lose to the New York Jets, their third consecutive loss to a team from New York who's not good. And it's just really bad.
And
isn't
it the third consecutive loss to a team with a losing record?
Well, that too. When we were looking ahead at this schedule and saw these three games, we went, oh boy, this is going to be easy.
Well, I thought the Chiefs, before the season, I said they could go 8-0, they could go 7-1, at the worst 6-2 in the second half of the season. And man, they have just absolutely bottomed out. They have four games left, the next three are at home, and then they finish at Denver. And Denver is just an absolute dumpster fire right now. They lose to Miami.
I don't know who's a bigger dumpster fire, Denver or Kansas City.
But 35-9 to the Dolphins, who just, you know, can't score on anybody.
But John Elway is the quarterback wizard.
Well, yeah.
But he's the greatest drafter of all time.
But Denver is now – I feel bad for Denver. I think they're 3-9. Is that what? 3-9?
I think they're 3-9.
3-9 for the Broncos. So, my goodness. The AFC West is now the AFC worst. It was the best division in football – early in the year. In fact, you know, you look early, Oakland started out 2-0, Denver was 2-0, Kansas City was 2-0, and now, to me, the Chargers are the favorite.
After the break, we will talk about the Chiefs' upcoming game with the Oakland Raiders on Sunday, and I've got one more point to make about the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes decision here for the Kansas City Chiefs. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You are listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Final segment on today's According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE, or if you're listening online at midkansasonline.com. If you missed the show today, if you've missed any other show in the past, they are all available on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve, you and I have been ripping on this Chiefs team for about 25 minutes now today, and I have one more point that I want to make about this Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes situation. And for those of you that have been listening to this show over the last 2 months, you know where I stand on this issue. And I've got one more reaffirming point to make about this. So we saw what happened when the Buffalo Bills decided to bench an NFL caliber quarterback in Tyrod Taylor and put in a rookie. We saw what happened. Nathan Peterman threw for 5 interceptions
in the first half
of that game.
Yeah.
Then what we saw last weekend, just yesterday, the New York Giants decided, hey, Eli Manning, you 2-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback and future Hall of Famer, we've had enough to do with you this year, so we're going to put Geno Smith in the game. And that didn't make anything better. Then today we find out that not only Ben McAdoo, the head coach of the Giants, was fired, but also the general manager of the New York Giants was fired. Because things don't tend to work all that well when you put a quarterback that is not prepared to be in the NFL in a starting quarterback role in a tough spot. Now, I'm not saying that Patrick Mahomes will never be an NFL-ready quarterback. He might be right now. But my case, and I will continue to make it, if you put Patrick Mahomes in right now, the season is essentially over. He may be good in the long run. And I say at the end of this year, if you're ready to be done with Alex Smith, go ahead. Let's move on.
Yeah, save
$17
million.
But give him the whole year and the offseason and the training camp and the preseason as the number one quarterback. That is how he can be the most successful. And if you throw him in now, you are killing
him. That's how they used to do it in the old days. You drafted a number one guy in the first round at quarterback. You sat him for a year, let him soak in all the knowledge. You know, Alex Smith will count $17 million toward the cap next year if they keep him. So that's something I got a feeling they won't bring him back because they need so much help on defense. They have got to put all their resources economically into the defensive side of the ball. They are really going to have to draft for defense, and they're going to have to go into the free agent market for defense. I mean, I know they need some help in the offensive line, but man, you've got to get that defense shored up.
All right, Steve, let's be real here. If the Chiefs lose this weekend to the Raiders, they are 6-7.
History.
And then they would have to play the Chargers, the Dolphins, and the Broncos. If they lose this week to the Raiders, They are done.
They're cooked toast.
I can't imagine. Well, number one, I don't think they can get in the wild card if they continue to play
this
way. Oh,
nobody from the AFC West will make the wild
card. At 9-7, I just don't see it happening.
No.
And the Chargers are just rolling so much right now that if they lose this game, they are done. And they're playing the Raiders at home. They're ready to avenge what happened in the Coliseum with the disaster of the end of that game. I know that they will be motivated. But can they beat this Oakland team? I think everything we've seen in the last 3 weeks says no.
Nope.
But everything we saw in the first 5 weeks says yes. Where is this going to happen? What is going to happen with this team? We'll talk about it a little bit more this week. But I'm going to be there, Steve. And I don't feel good at all about this
game.
I don't either.
And Andy Reid says, hey, the guys are together in the locker room. This doesn't look like a team that's on the same page to me.
We didn't even get to dive much into the Marcus Peters stuff. That will be a story for another day. And I have always backed up Marcus Peters. I have always been a fan of him. But yesterday kind of told me he didn't really want to play anymore.
Yeah.
Which I don't like. Which is the same thing when a major league manager goes out and gets tossed for no reason. I don't like that.
And I didn't like his expression walking off the field with that kind of grin on his face. And, you know, to me, he let his team down. He let the Chiefs fans down. He let the city down. It's time for him to have a reality check. You know, he thinks he's little Marshawn Lynch. Well, Marcus Peters, he needs to start manning up and taking some responsibility for his actions.
Well, luckily they didn't go to overtime or he would have been sockless Joe Jackson out there trying to run around and play defense. Okay, that'll do it for today's show. Coming up tomorrow, we talk about Bullpup basketball as they will take on Derby tomorrow night at the Roundhouse. It should be a very, very good girls and boys game. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. We will see you tomorrow afternoon.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBDE.